back to LSAT Demon Daily. With me, I have Katie Becker. Katie is a tutor and teacher for us at LSAT Demon. And how are you doing this morning, Katie?
I'm good. Thanks.
We have an email here from Drew. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, okay. I have a quick question on your recommended approach to reading comprehension. When you are going through the questions and reviewing the answer choices, will you go back and refer to the passage to verify or reject each answer? Or will you rely on your initial comprehension of the passage to answer the questions? That's coming to you from Drew. I see you shaking your head, Katie. What are you shaking your head at?
To me, like, that to me is the same as testing out each answer choice in the games. Like, you can get to the right answer that way, but it's not the most efficient. Right? We want you making worlds, or in the case of reading comp, we want you understanding the passage so well the first time that you read it that you don't have, like, you're going to end up going faster if you understand the passage so well the first time that you read it that you don't have to refer back to it. Maybe if the question references a specific line or a specific word in a line, and for whatever reason you don't remember that, maybe you would refer back in that instance, but generally I would say probably not. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think I'm predicting the answer at least half the time. I mean, I'm trying to predict the answer every time if I can, but I would say that, you know, you'd have to have like a hidden camera on me or something, somebody observing me without me knowing that I'm being observed to see how often I really refer back to the passage. But I don't think I do it on half of the questions. I mean, I think especially, okay, main point, but that's the kiss of death, isn't it? You ever see a student, Katie, main point question, and they start looking at the passage?
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
No, it's not going to work for you, because many of those answers, maybe even all of the answer choices are going to be things that were said in the passage. A main point question is asking you to do some higher level figuring out why this document exists. Why did this person write this, right? And just looking at a specific line in the passage is not going to get you there. It's going to lead you astray.
Well, yeah, the on the main point question, there are one or two answers maybe that just totally go off the rails and misdescribe what the passage even said.
Right.
But there are other answers that are like, oh yeah, this was an excerpt right out of the passage. It said this. But the fact that it said it doesn't mean that that's the main point of the passage. Main point questions, you got to cover up those answer choices and make a strong prediction of what the, you know, what Katie said is perfect, I think. Like, why does this document exist? And once you've got it in your mind why the document exists, then you need to go find the kernel of truth at the center of the whole piece. You got to find that in one of those answers. That's going to be the right answer. I can think of a couple question types where I definitely do refer back. Do you have questions where you, like, by default, you know you're going to go back to the passage?
If it's saying, you know, the word X as used in line 24 could be substituted for which of the following? Yeah, usually. I mean, if it was in a unique enough usage, I may have picked up on it the first time. I don't even need to go back, but usually I would go back.
Right. Say more about that. What do you mean a unique usage?
If they used a word strange, I mean, sometimes those questions, right, are testing whether you can see a word and understand that the way that they're using it is not necessarily the first dictionary definition. So they're using it in some other maybe figurative way, right? So, and sometimes as you're reading, you'll pick up on that. Or just if it's like a weird word, you might pick up on that, think about it for a sec, figure out the meaning from the context and move on. And in that case, if it's fresh in my mind from having noticed it the first time around, I might not even have to go back for the question. But usually I would refer back.
Yeah. There's ones certainly where it's like, again, it's like the author most likely used the word mad in the third paragraph in a sense that means the same as, and then they give you a list of five synonyms. That's a place where, okay, what you're saying, Katie, is that if they had used it in a strange way, I said the word mad, Maybe they had used the word mad to mean crazy instead of the word mad meaning angry. And probably I would have caught that in the passage. But in that case, maybe I predict the answer. But if not, then I absolutely would go back. And it's just critical that you read it in context.
Right.
Students try to answer that question without going back. And it's like, well, wait a second.
Right. Oh, I know what they're mad means. It means angry.
Exactly. Yeah. This isn't, you know, the SAT or the GRE or whatever, where it has weird, like, just vocabulary matching. That's not what this is. And there's always going to be wrong answers. In fact, frequently, all of the wrong answers will be other different senses of this word. Any of them might be the correct answer depending on what the context was. And now they're going to specifically test, like, okay, can you get out of the context? Now can you pull out what that word really meant?
I do think sometimes students, and I'm getting a little bit of this from Drew's question, although maybe this isn't what Drew's saying. Sometimes students will not entirely understand the passage and will think they can sort of hack the test or bypass the understanding and count on the answer choices to explain the passage to them.
Yep.
I've heard students say things like that, and that it scares me because the answer choices are written to mislead, not to explain.
Right. Right. No, it's the kiss of death. I mean, you can tell who's good at reading comp and who isn't good at reading comp just by the weight of how much time do you spend on the passage versus how much time do you spend on the questions and specifically comparing wrong answer choices to one another. A novice just kind of, well, I got to keep moving. You know, it's reading. It's a race. I got to make sure I finish. And so they just blaze through the passage. And then it takes them forever when they crash up against those questions. And then they're constantly like, well, C looks pretty good and D looks pretty good. And now I'm going to compare those two. Oh, but also could be E maybe, because that's, you know, and it's like, holy shit, what are you even doing? You're wasting so much time because you didn't invest a little bit more time. The expert approach is the total flip of that, which is take all the time in the world to comfortably understand that passage. Boy, you have to understand, why does this document exist? What's the purpose of it? What do you want? Then all of a sudden the questions just open up to you, and you start to treat the wrong answers as trash, which they are. They're just professionally written trash that's there to, you know, confuse you and waste your time. Amazing. Okay. Anything else for Drew?
I don't think so. Good luck, Drew.
Thanks, Drew. You can send all your questions to help@lsatdemondaily.com. And thanks, Katie Becker, for guesting on our show.
You're welcome. Thank you.